Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk. Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, this 17th day of April, 2024, right here on Revolution Radio, where I'm joined today by Bill Bonatotti, a former NFL player, but also a brilliant guy who's had a lot of legal experience. And I wanted Bill to join today to talk about The Truth versus Alex Jones, this new pseudo-documentary that presents anything but truth. You can find an expose on my blog now. Jim Fetzer, PhD, Fake News, The Truth versus Alex Jones at jameshfetzer.org. Bill and I are going to be discussing the documentary, pointing out some of the most serious flaws and blunders, because remarkably enough, if you know enough about the case, there is evidence internal to the documentary to reveal the whole thing was a scam, it was a hoax, it was a fraud. We'll be detailing that. We'll be taking your questions, and know this. Many have wanted to obtain a copy of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, the book that was banned by Amazon less than a month after it went on sale, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies, destined to become a bestseller. Too much truth. I have no doubt whatsoever that Amazon was acting as an agent of the state when it banned the book. Well, they went through an elaborate legal process to take the book away from me. I had released it immediately for free as a PDF, downloaded millions of times. Well, guess what? I've created a new redacted version of which you can download yourself for free from my blog, jameshfetzer.org. You can download Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, Redacted Edition 2024, right there. Have it in your hands. 440-plus pages. And in addition, as a bonus, Robert D. Steele published a memorandum for then-President Trump about Sandy Hook. It's entitled Sandy Hook Truth. You can download that, too. That's another 128 pages, 31 short articles, plus five appendices. You're going to have so much evidence about the monster fraud. There's going to be no room for doubt. Mark my words. You may share this as widely as you can. Give everyone. Send it out. Let people understand how the American government has perpetrated a fraud on the American people and got out of its way to punish those who have sought to expose the truth. It will leave no doubt about it. We begin, however, with the latest results about international news, especially the bombing of Israel by Iran, an historic effort that has inspired the entire Arab world and Muslim community. Here is Scott Ritter talking about it.
Scott Ritter, former Marine officer, former United Nations weapons inspector, a man who knows more about war than almost anybody else on the planet.
George Galloway speaking.
That's active in public life, trying to warn people of the very real dangers of the situation we are now in. I'm glad to say he's with us. Now, Scott, let's talk, if we may, about, first of all, what happened before moving on to what might happen next. If you would describe for us, with your peerless experience, what happened in the Iranian attack on Israel last night?
Well, simply put, what happened is that the Iranian government has established a publicly discernible policy on deterrence. They have let Israel know, and not just Israel, they have let the United States and every other nation in within missile range know that there will be a heavy price to be paid if you attack Iranian soil, that Iran will not tolerate the kind of attack that took place on the 1st of April, where Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Damascus. And I believe Iran is also putting a marker on the table that says Iran will no longer tolerate the kind of actions such as the assassination of nuclear scientists on its soil by Israel in the past. This will not be tolerated. That in the future, if you choose to attack Iran, Iran will retaliate, and they will retaliate with the kind of force that cannot be interdicted and the kind of force that will destroy that which it is seeking to destroy. Now, the Iranians were very clever in creating this posture, in that all they had to do was show a proof of concept. I think a lot of people were saying, well, they didn't destroy an airfield. They didn't destroy an Israeli headquarters. They didn't kill hundreds or thousands of Israelis. They weren't intending to. They were simply letting the Israelis and the Americans know that we have the capacity to destroy an airfield. All the Israelis have to do is look at a map, look where the Iranian missiles hit, and understand that the Iranians hit that which they were aiming at, and there was nothing Israel could do to stop those missiles from reaching their target. And Israel is the most heavily defended airspace in the world, with the most sophisticated anti-missile technology deployed in depth, and they couldn't stop the Iranian missiles. So the signal to the United States, which lacks this comprehensive air defense umbrella over its installations in the Middle East, is there too, but for the grace of God, go you, if you choose to attack us or facilitate an Israeli attack. So this was, I call it one of the greatest military demonstrations in modern history, because by doing what they did, Iran not only put Israel into check, but believe it or not, they have created a foundation for peace and stability in the Middle East by eliminating from consideration options that Israel and the United States may have been considering down the road, such as a preemptive strike against Iranian nuclear facilities or a punishing attack against the Iranian regime. The United States and Israel are now on notice that if they attempt to do something like that, the price they will pay will be preemptively high. In the case of Israel, it might be terminally high.
Let me just emphasize what he's saying there. They've demonstrated proof of concept. They can do this. They can pull it off. They can have reach any target they want, and Israel can't do anything about it. That's especially important because the U.S., Britain, Jordan, and France all helped to shield Israel from the drone and missile strike, and they could not succeed. In addition, I do believe it's going to have the powerful ripple effects. The United States, recognizing its own bases in the Middle East, are now vulnerable, clearly shown to be vulnerable. Thus, as Scott observes, options that may have been on the table before are no longer on the table. A brief summation, this event has terrified the Israeli population. They thought they were safe and secure. The Iron Dome would protect them. False, not true. Many are fleeing Israel. Cyprus has been overrun. Traumatic, powerful psychological effect, intimidating the Israelis. On the other hand, it has elated the Islamic, the Muslim community, because finally there's been a hit back. Someone has done something about Israel, And even if it was not directly justified by the ongoing genocide, it was a powerful indication that Israel cannot continue to slaughter, doing its business as usual. And in the third place, it led to Israel expending a massive, up to $1 billion worth of weaponry and countering with the attack, $1 billion. And while you can bet that the phony Joe Biden, the traitorous Mike Johnson are going to rush to send money to Israel and more weapons because they are treasonous. They are betraying the United States. They don't give a damn about international law. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. And that extends to this fraudulent Speaker of the House, whom I have come to despise. This man is unfit for office. And of course, we know the whole Biden administration is as well. If you want further reflections on what's taking place, Joaquin Hagopian has a nice piece also on my blog entitled Iran Attacks Israel, Middle East and World Teeter on Brink of a Kinetic World War III. The U.S., Britain, Jordan, and France, as I mentioned, all helped to shield Israel. Israel couldn't have done it on its own. I mean, this is a massive effort to forestall. And remember, they knew it was coming. Iran had acted in accordance with international law. They were invoking Article 51 of the UN Charter, the right to self-defense. We've had some ludicrous statements from figures like Steve Scalise, who was actually saying it was an unprovoked attack. And I say, Steve Scalise, what, have you been living in a cave? You don't know that Israel attacked Iran first, that that consulate is sovereign Iranian territory, and that this was in response in accordance with international. I cannot believe the incompetence and the corruption of American political figures here in the United States. Again, Steve Scalise, I might have thought was a decent human being. He turns out to be a moron. Get this. U.S., Jordan, France all helped shield Israel from Iranian drone and missile strikes on April 13th. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps initiated missile and drone strikes on Israeli military facilities, with these launched under Operation True Promise in retaliation for an Israeli talk on an Iranian diplomatic building in Syria, killing 2 senior generals and 9 others. Iran first gained the capability to launch missile strikes on Israeli territory in the late 1990s with the acquisition of North Korean Hwasong-7 ballistic missiles. With the expansion of these strikes, these strike capabilities and of those of neighboring Syria having led Israel to build a dense multi-layered air defense network with the support of the United States. According to Israeli Defense Force Brigadier General Reem Amos, the country's air defense efforts cost approximately $1.33 billion. Alongside Israeli efforts, however, four of the country's closest security partners also provides significant support to help blunt the Iranian strike, namely the United States, the United Kingdom, France, and most surprising of all, Jordan. Jordan, which is going to come under increasing scrutiny for its role now in the Middle East. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, Ukrainian officials are jealous of the U.S. defense of Israel. Ukrainian officials have expressed envy over the U.S. response to an Iranian drone and missile attack on Israel, coming in retaliation for the Israeli bombing of Iran's consulate in Syria. The U.S., the U.K., France, Jordan all intervened to help intercept Iranian drones and missiles. The whole world saw that Israel was not alone in this defense. The threat in the sky was also being eliminated by its allies, Zelensky said. And, of course, he wants more money to buy more mansions. Most recently, the palatial estate formerly owned by King Charles has become that of Zelensky, would you believe? Here we have Wesley Clark, another figure who has sold his soul, declaring that the biggest fear is a nuclear Iran. That is ridiculous. The biggest fear is nuclear Israel, and everyone knows Israel has hundreds of nukes, biological weapons, chemical weapons, undeclared. What that means is, under American law, the United States cannot provide foreign aid to Israel because it has undeclared weapons of mass destruction. But, of course, who cares? Who cares? By the way, here's a wonderful piece by Haim Bashir Zabner. There is nothing Jewish about the Jewish state at henrymackow.com. He epitomizes what Israel could have been, civilized, humane, and generous. Zabner says there's nothing Jewish about genocide militarism. He said Jews and Muslims lived in peace for centuries until Zionism came on the scene. That is causing the Israelis fits because they can't decide whether they are invincible or vulnerable. The contradiction is driving them crazy. Israel is a major munition supplier of the Indian Army and most European countries. The IDF is embedded in all aspects of life and identity. That should not merely be seen. It should not merely be seen as a fighting force, but it really is the core of Israeli society. Israel has 200-plus nuclear warheads and is blackmailing the entire world. Indeed, it is my opinion at this point in time that the world must destroy Israel before Israel destroys the world. That's where things stand. Meanwhile, it turns out the New York Times is telling its journalists what they can and cannot say about Gaza. They can't use words like genocide, ethnic cleansing, even occupied territory. How insulting is that? Especially for the newspaper that is our country's newspaper of record, meaning what's published in the New York Times is supposed to be the official history of the United States. Stunning. Johnson, Mike Johnson, calls himself a wartime speaker, will push Ukrainian aid despite opposition. Good God, man. How much genocide do you have to support? Get this. Here's a nice Twitter about what the United States is doing, how it adds up. Our $90 billion overseas budget passed the House last night. $49.43 billion for Ukraine, $14.1 billion for Israel, $2.4 billion for Red Sea operations, $2.58 billion for Indo-Pac comp, $3.3 billion for industrial base. For the U.S. southern border, while we're $34.6 trillion in debt, zero, zero. And they can spy on you without a warrant until under FISA, that where they have made themselves exempt. Our Congress is so corrupt, disgusting. Meanwhile, Trump goes from court to campaign, blaming Bragg for New York City crime. Former President Donald Trump headed straight from the courtroom to campaign trail in New York City Tuesday, accusing the Democrat prosecuting him for an increase in violent crime in the Big Apple. It's Alvin Bragg's fault, Trump said outside the Sama Bodega in Harlem, referring to the Manhattan District Attorney who has indicted him on 34 counts regarding allegation of falsifying business records to cover an alleged hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Trump has vehemently denied any wrongdoing. Alvin Bragg does nothing, said the presumptive Republican presidential nominee for November's election. He goes after guys like Trump, who did nothing wrong. Violent criminals, murders, or hundreds of murders all over the city. Prosecutors know who they are, and they don't pick them up. They go after Trump. I think he's got it right. Well, guess what? Alvin Bragg is moving to put Trump in prison, not just after the trial, now. Monday marked the first criminal trial of a former U.S. president, also a presumptive nominee for the next election. Just one day later, things are already off to a rocky start. Tuesday, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg filed a motion, told former President Trump in contempt of court, alleging Trump violated the court's gag order by making public comments about two key witnesses in his ongoing criminal trial. The action, filed in the New York Supreme Court could lead to significant consequences, including imprisonment. Can you believe? These are disgusting people. In fact, we have a report on the backgrounds of the prosecutors, all of whom are left-wing, who are going after Trump. It's pretty disgusting, something you don't want to miss. Meanwhile, Trump lawyers are explaining how the Democrats are attempting to stack the deck against Trump by way of jury selection. Surprise, surprise. The prosecution in former President Trump's criminal trial at the hands of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is attempting to stack the deck against Trump in jury selection, trying to find out if you've ever been involved in supporting Trump at all over the years, failing to ask the same question about supporting President Biden. Trump lawyer Jesse Banal said during an interview on Breitbart, what is going on is stacking the deck. Jury selection is different in every jurisdiction and in every case, Banal said, explaining that in this case, they are basing much of jury selection on these questionnaires they sent out, which are very much in favor of the prosecution. Surprise, surprise. Trump is seeking a rare legal move for his own participation in sidebars with a judge during a trial. No doubt, and here's a report, we don't have a lot of reason to question, Trump will be found guilty in New York, and Bragg will try to imprison him. Remember, this is a George Soros attorney. That's what they've done. They've demolished justice in the United States. New York City is out to destroy Donald Trump. And Alvin Bragg's criminal trial start Monday when this was published. We already know the outcome. Trump will receive nothing of a fair trial. And Bragg, with the judges, will find Trump guilty. And they will try to imprison Trump on Rikers Island and cheer it when an inmate kills him. I feel sorry for those who are blinded by their hatred at Trump. This is tearing down the country. And whatever they do to Trump has opened the door for rogue Republican prosecutors to do the same to Democrats. This is the start of the American Civil War. And ironically, the first began on April 12, 1861. And this will be instigated on April 15, 2024, 163 years later, or just about 19 waves of 8.6 years. I think that's exactly right. But bear in mind, every one of these efforts has failed. They have increased support for Donald Trump, not diminished. If you want to appreciate the enormity of the destruction of the judicial system under the Democrat, check out my article, The Demolition of Justice in the USA, at jameshfetzer.org. Meanwhile, RFK Jr. has withdrawn consideration for the nomination of the Libertarian Party. I'm not 100% sure why he would do this. RFK Jr. has considered the party's nomination to ensure ballot access in all 50 states, which they could guarantee. The former Democrat seems confident his name will appear on the ballot across the country in November regardless. We're not going to have any problem getting on the ballot ourselves, so we won't be running Libertarian, he told ABC News. There are several people running for the Libertarian nomination. Just about any of them would represent us better than Bobby would, however, said Spike Cohen, according to the New York Sun. Well, I don't know how that's going to play out, but polling has shown that Bobby's candidacy draws away more votes from Biden than it does for Trump. Meanwhile, a Mayorkas-linked NGO has been caught distributing flyers to illegal aliens, directing them to vote for Joe Biden. Are you surprised? A non-governmental organization tied to the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has been caught distributing flyers to illegal aliens, urging them to vote for Joe Biden. The shocking flyers posted on the walls of portable toilets handed out to migrants at the resource center Matamoros in Matamoros, Mexico, were discovered by independent journalist Muckraker, who shared them with the Heritage Foundation's Overnight Project. Good work, Muckraker. Meanwhile, John Mellencamp gets booed and storms off the stage. This is an interesting story. Here's what happened. Many posts on Twitter claim that Cougar was rambling about how great Joe Biden is. The crowd didn't like it very much. They were booing him. Cougar gets upset and starts lecturing the crowd. In a temper tantrum, he declares he's cutting 10 songs from the concert, then start to play a few bars of a song only to declare the concert is canceled and storms off the stage. That's partly right, but partly wrong. Here we even have a video about it. How ridiculous.
No.
What do you think I've been doing, you sucker? Now, here's the thing, man. You don't know me. You don't f***ing know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show. Guys, I can stop this show right now and just go home. Tell me what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. A little ditty, that Jack Diane, the magic keys go in the heartland. Show's over.
Show's over. Yeah, show's over for him. What a... Lots of words to say. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as many of you are aware, and as I've reported on multiple occasions, including SGT report and at the College of Complexes for the past 2 years, actually more, I've been in contact with two of the participants in the FEMA drill exercise in Newtown, Connecticut. They've given me information and details, rounding out my understanding of what happened there. For example, it turns out that Sandy Hook School, and you've all seen the sign, wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. No, that explains why you don't have a U-shaped driveway where buses can come in, drop off students, pick them up, move out without creating traffic jams. Instead, there's only one entrance because parents would just come in, drop off their kids, many of whom were autistic, for education there. Not only that, but the school, we had concluded when I brought together 13 experts, including six PhDs, that the school had been closed by 2006. That's correct, but it was actually closed in 2006 when, they've explained to me, Eric Holder came to Newtown and offered the community $114 million to participate in a scam on the American people that was intended to show what could happen if we don't take guns away from the people. Just disgusting, disgraceful. They had auditions for roles. They had non-disclosure agreements. They had fringe benefits. Participants don't pay taxes. They get free college. I mean, I'm telling you, this is just monstrous. And they have used the law to shut up Sandy Hook critics. Those of us who are skeptical of the government attempt and accounting can actually prove it to be false by manipulating the legal system. I'm so pleased to have of late come into contact with Bill Bonatotti, who's just a brilliant guy. He's got a lot of hands-on experience. He's dealt with many court cases very, very successfully. He's not a lawyer, but he is very smart. Bill, I'm so glad you could join me today. We watched this documentary together, The Truth versus Sandy Hook, and as I'm explaining, it's anything but. Please give us your impressions.
Well, first of all, thank you, Jim, for feeling that way about my input. I'm honored by you and Wolfgang, who I've talked to several times, and your whole team. I'm calling from Corrupticut, what I call the unconstitutional state. And that's exactly what I experienced as a litigant. I was actually arrested in the courthouse filling out subpoena requests, which I never had denied, falsely for harassment. I mean, there's a big backstory we could talk, and some things I've used to get criminal cases dropped that I can share with your audience in the future. Regarding the matter at hand, clearly we've watched the video together, and it is propaganda, in my opinion, pursuant the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 that Obama signed months before Sandy Hook. This is a gun grab roadshow. Obviously, I think we clearly saw some things in watching the flick together that really are impeached. Let's just call them the operatives. I don't know how else to refer to everybody involved in this. And the specifics of which we can get into today, and then, of course, in the future, the legal aspects of it, even we can kind of weave some of that in. And what happened for me briefly is I grew up here. I used to get bused up to Newtown the Camp Whippewag from Trumbull. That doesn't give me any special insight in Newtown. But I did end up getting caught up in the legal system, starting with 4 illegal arrests, 1,400 days of illegal malicious prosecution, got them all dismissed. Then I filed lawsuits. I started suing parties, including towns, lawyers, make police departments, defendants, whatever. And they just kept escalating with more arrests, which then they weaponized psychiatry, which they've done to a lot of the good doctors, for example. Dr. Bregan talks about this, not that they use it against him, regarding the COVID aspect. And because I wouldn't take plea bargains, I refused knowledge. I'm the one reporting crimes. I ended up being caught up in what they call Department of Mental Health Addictive Services system, where I was forced into jail diversion programs, eventually into a psych ward for 2 months, literally on one floor with a cuckoo's nest here in Connecticut. So all that has opened me up to how absolutely foul, corrupt the whole system is. And I started looking at the Alex Jones matter when the Uvalde, Alex Jones things were happening. I'm like, what is going on here? I think the first thing to note is the statute of limitations, which to me, and what I heard Robert Barnes say, for the most part, be expired on all these, on damage, defamation, and slander, which is only 2 years. Used to say, Jim, I noticed today, used to say from first utterance, first incident of an injury. They have now changed that, Jim, to what 2 years from your first claim as a someone bringing a lawsuit, which is interesting how they've manipulated the verbiage to bring these cases, in my opinion. So, I mean, I could, you know me, I can get going. And so should I hold off for a moment and let you?
No, I want you to go ahead, Bill. You have so many insights and you've been so successful at hands-on dealing with these issues in the law. Yeah. I forgot Connecticut claims to be the constitutional state, but it's the greatest abridger of the Constitution. Connecticut may be the most corrupt state in the Union, Bill. I am convinced, and there are multiple indicators. Please go ahead on a roll. Lay it out.
Okay. Well, along those lines, we had a task force on corruption. The U.S. Attorney's Office, 157 Church Street, Deidre Daly, which opened up around the spring of 2015, who I was reporting to, in writing, sent her my lawsuits and the motions to recuse judges and things of that nature, trying to expose the corruption. She asked people who be willing to do it, and I did. And, she actually indicted and convicted the CPA in my father's probate matter. Joe Castellano went to prison on fraud and Ponzi scheme out of Wallingford. Anyone can find the DOJ press release online. Now, of course, I want to say when people are corrupt, not just corrupt with me or my cases or anything, it's just systematic problem we have here. It's so corrupt that George Byers, who is with Park City Communities, brought in from Indiana to help revamp our local HUD, Park City Communities. I got to know for about a year and a half. I was staying in the extended stay hotel long term, and I met George there. And we used to meet out at Ruby Tuesdays and Chili's, getting back to corruption. And he said to me one night, meet me at Chili's. I said, okay, George. And he goes, they severance me out, Bill, the last 6 months. He says, let me tell you, I've been to federal court here 16 times with my team. We cannot prevail. This is the most corrupt state HUD has ever sent me to. That's exactly what he said to me. And keep in mind, our mayor, Ganim in Bridgeport, had been in prison for various frauds and money laundering. I'm not exactly sure of the charges for 7 years. He's now the mayor of Bridgeport. Jim, it isn't Gotham City. It's Gotham State. Let me tell you, it is unbelievably corrupt. So George went back to Indiana and said he was going to report to the feds. And he cautioned me. He says, you keep fighting corruption in this state. He said, you may end up with federal housing. I am disabled. He said, but it's going to have bars on it. And sure enough, I ended up in Whiting CVH in Middletown in the psych ward. Hi. That's a whole other chapter that we could have some fun talking about.
Federal housing, but it'll have bars on it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that was a full max security psych ward. You know, I was in there for allegedly we restored the competency for trial because I wouldn't take a nolly contendere. I'm like, I'm reporting the crimes. You can't even prosecute me illegally. I'm not taking any form of plea bargain that's going to hang over me from 13 months from date of arrest and that I have to get expunged. That's nonsense. Take my complaints. And to corroborate that, I know she's not a favorite of anybody. Letitia James did send me a thank you letter, which I sent you, Jim, for assisting in her investigation into the sexual abuse of minors and young adults in nonprofit institutions. They got corroborating evidence on the priest, Monsignor Tappy, who had sexually assaulted me, had sexually assaulted other students. And plus, I informed them of a canon law called Crimean Solicitations, which is on the books for the church, which impeaches them pursuing shared criminal liability. Section 18 U.S. 792 around the country and 53A-8 here in Connecticut, which has been confirmed by good. Let me say, there's a lot of good cops that I want to make note of that kept me from being in prison because they wouldn't testify against me. And clearly we had some who made bad arrests. And so we've, on the flip side, we have positive. We have 2019, our Governor Ned Lamont signed the police oversight bill with enhanced provision for the disabled. The police are required to de-escalate, number one. Then there's a new Class C felony level where if anyone making false complaints to get someone illegally arrested, they have a new Class C felony. It was always a Class D felony, but you have to remember you have to go to trial, and Class D felony have sequester a jury and have actual hearings. The Class C felony is really a paper tiger. It's to deter false reports, but to enforce it, you have to go to trial and prove it, which step it up to a Class D felony. We also have Senate Oversight Bill 1070 brought by the ACLU for prosecutorial oversight, which we desperately needed here. So although Deidre Daly, unfortunately, from my perspective, when Trump got elected, he fired her. And there was sort of a real, it went from I was going to be meeting with Deidre, according to U.S. attorneys, because there was a lot of other matters I was addressing and judges and whatnot, to stop calling and then blocking my calls. And when I used to be able to drive, even went up there, they wouldn't meet with me, even though I had gotten a Judge Emmons recused on a 74-page motion. And she's no longer a judge. Again, every 8 years, the judges come up for reinstatement. The governor appoints them originally. And she had more complaints against than any judge in that eight-year cycle. First judge not to be reinstated in 260 years. So we've seen some changes here that have been positive, as I described. Regarding the how this, so what happened was when I started seeing this Alex Jones thing, first thing that occurred to me, Jim, was, wait a minute now. This supposedly happened the end of December 2012, December 14th. And I'm asking myself, why are we seeing litigation in 2021, 2022? If I was representing the parents, I'd want to file those lawsuits as soon as possible to stop any re-traumatization, re-victimization. I wouldn't wait 6 years or whatever, whenever they filed them. Wolf said, when I talked to him in 2018 on this latest round, and so I'm like, what, this doesn't make any sense. And I dove into the statutes. I'd study Robert Barnes talking on Viva Frey, if we're going to jump to kind of like the overall picture on the civil proceedings. And he used a curious phrase. He said, most of the statutes are expired, which I didn't understand because there's only in slander and damage and defamation, there's only two statutes, 2 years on damage, 3 years on defamation. So I'm not sure what he meant by that. It's not like I've ever talked to him. But they've wiggled around this, even in your case, as you told me, where the judges have said, well, you made recent statements, so as if the statute constantly restarts, which is not the way it's written. It's if the parents are going to claim, or operatives, that we heard, getting back to the truth verse Alex Jones, we heard one of the parents say, I don't remember which one, that before the bodies were cold, Alex Jones started making statements that they found offensive, defamatory. So we know that would be December 14th. So if you've got a 2-year statute from when you're claiming your first injury happened, well, add 2 years to that. And where are we? We're into December 14, 2014. So this constantly extending the statute because of statements made or not made. And plus, this is all academic because in discussing it, kind of like a scenario, because we know no one died. We know that from the FBI Crime Table 8, 2012, which let me say, notice, and Wolfgang pointed this out, who got sued and who didn't? Who is liable? If I'm a reporter or an entertainer, Jim, and I'm reporting, gee, the FBI Crime Table 8, 2012, for Newtown Sandy Hook, cites zero murders, which anybody can Google, still says zero. How am I liable? Who is liable? That would be the Department of Justice and the FBI, possibly Homeland Security, because we know from Patricia LaLota. Oh, boy, talk about misrepresenting everything. Patricia, in this video, plays on the emotional aspect. She does not cite anything about the FOIA hearings, June 3rd, 2015, at 2 hours and 15 minutes on, right after Chief Cahill, when she is questioned by Kay Wilson, who dropped the sign, everyone must check in. And we know she states that she believed Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security dropped it. Right. So then the next question
was just for the audience to understand, Homeland Security wasn't supposed to have anything to do with this. But of course, in fact, right. FEMA is under Homeland Security. This was a FEMA operation. We even have the FEMA manual, which, by the way, you can download yourself from my blog at jameshfetzer.org. I give you the evidence. I don't make claims about Sandy Hook. I cannot prove. And here you have confirmation from Patricia LaLorda, first select man of Newtown, which is a position equivalent to mayor, under oath. When asked who put the sign, everyone must check in. And this is part of a FEMA drill. You got to check in with a controller so you can be paid for your participation. And she says, DHS, it's just a bombshell. But, of course, they're going to suppress it. You're not going to learn about it in the truth versus Alex Jones because they're doing everything they can to suppress the truth. Go for it, Bill.
Right, exactly. When you have, she was under oath, perjury. Now, I contend that perjury by omission is perjury. The idea that the first select woman who's above the police in the executive branch, nearly two and a half years after the incident, has no records of where the Jim, you know, you've been in the military. If you're an incident command, let's draw up a possible scenario, and you're with the FBI or Newtown Police or State Police, and you're coordinating on the day, and there's been a sign-in roster, who's signing in? And, of course, to make proper reports back to your home office, you have to have records. Right. So you're going to make reports on that incident based on records. Supposedly, according to her, she has no idea, nothing about it, no evidence that Newtown has as of searching all her, because she gets the FOIA request and then she sends her team to investigate what's on record. And so she believes the state police have it. There's been no intercommunication between the stateies and the Newtown police in the last 2.5 years for people to make proper reports. This is nonsense. It's completely implausible. In my opinion. So by omission, I contend she was perjuring herself. But of course, that whole FOIA hearing was completely rigged. Anyone, by the way, you can see in Rumble, thank God for Rumble posting the FOIA hearings, April 24th, 2015, June 3rd, 2015. Of course, Wolfgang Halbig, Sandy Hook Revisited, Dear Wolfgang, where the third FOIA hearing, there's low lights posted. I have not seen the third FOIA hearing anywhere, and I have some insight after talking to Wolfgang and Kay Wilson, what I was told went on there by Wolf, but just more, should I jump into that, Jim?
No, I just want to add that you can actually watch the FOIA hearing toward the end of the hearing when Patricia LaLorda makes that admission, because I embedded it on my blog. You can watch it there. You can watch it there. Continue, Bill.
Right. Also, before we jump to what I want to talk to Wolf, she also acknowledges regarding the environmental biohazard report, she has no idea. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, people were killed there. Children were killed and adults. Janitors can't clean that up. It has to be done by an environmental biohazard team. And there would be contracts. There'd be record of them being contracted, who paid them, how much. And then the report would come back. And, of course, Wolf, being a retired police officer, customs agent, school principal, administrator. He was a perfect one to investigate. I tell you, Jim, when I was watching those FOIA hearings, and it was about 5 hours of hearings, a little more, if you include the third one we see only excerpts from, I was just so upset watching the obfuscation, the people violating subpoena, Kathy Gamas of Chalk Hill School. Of course, that's where the kids were, and thank God to Allison Sonny Maynard and her reports on the Real Colorado diving into all this and the records of that reflect that and your work and Wolf's. It's amazing to me. Well, actually, what I've been through, maybe not so much. I was amazed growing up on Jerome Avenue in Trumbull, not even a half mile from the Trumbull Police Department. I'm being told by my mother, of course, as a kid, if you have any problems, you go to the police, how absolutely corrupt everything is. I haven't not been through it. I wouldn't believe it. And so I thank God in that sense that he put me through it to open me up to how unbelievably corrupt it is based on my own experience on all levels, our government. And it kind of dovetails into what you started saying originally, and I'll just end by, I think it's a, I've heard Chris Reinhardt say this and Carl Herman and Joel Olson. I appreciate watching those guys on your team, by the way, about it's really a federal bankster system coming from what I call, let's say, the center of London, Vatican. So you have a Jesuit Zionist cabal. I don't want to get too far into that right now, but this is all about the New World Order, and it is tied in to gun control, because as Klaus Schwab said, it'll be an angrier world going forward until they initiate the fourth industrial revolution. Well, of course, what they're going to need to do, step up the militarization of the police. We know the whole scenario, CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, the whole vaccine fraud and how that all plays in. So it's all about control. There'll be an angrier world. And the immigration issue is to bring in, to undermine the American unions, which they've done effectively. You got, you know, Rossboro, NAFTA. You don't want that. You're going to hear a giant sucking sound. Our jobs are going to go to Mexico, then to Asia. So this is all tying into this whole New World Order scam, Rockefeller Foundation, Bilderberg Continuum, which, by the way, I know you talk about a lot in the other guys. So weaving it back, it's about gun control. It's about misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, reducing our freedom of speech. Alex Jones plays a perfect stooge here. And I say that, I'm like, anyone wants to sue me? Come on, baby. Because I'd be happy to litigate it, you know what I mean, and help act as an advocate for you, Jim, and Wolf, and anybody else. Although I couldn't legally, but at least in public domain, you know, because I'm not a lawyer, you know. So, so moving back to Patricia LaLoja, that's by omission. Those are perjuries. I would say you have violations of subpoena also from Keith Anzalotti, who, and you see the FOIA hearings, you'll see that. He was head of custodial staff, best my recollection, for the whole town of Newtown. And then Kevin Alexander, who was head of the school board, violated subpoena first hearing, showed up second hearing, and couldn't remember a damn thing he'd have to know to have his job. And it didn't bring the documents as to, you know, who authorized the permission slips for the kids to go to New Orleans and the things Wolf was trying to track to get the information. He was constantly obstructed. And just to say, jumping in, should I pause for a second, Jim, and breathe?
Yeah,
and
let you go ahead. We're coming up to a break. That'll be perfect. You got a couple of minutes to tie it together, Bill. Do it.
Okay. So, all right. When you're litigating and you issue subpoenas, either as a pro se litigant where I had to get them approved by the judges or as an officer of the court, when your subpoenas are violated, Jim, for appearance, it's, as we were talking, two words you need to know if you're ever litigating, and if your lawyer's not doing this, they're not representing you: objection and motion two or four. You remember that. Objection and motion four, motion two, depending on, you know, the context. What? Now, let me tell you, before I tell you exactly what happened, I called Kay Wilson, and I talked to her to see if she'd take over my cases. I withdrew all my civil suits without prejudice, so there's no double jeopardy. I got tired of, you know, you can't fight City Hall. You can't fight the state in this corrupt state and state court, which is where I was litigating. According to George Byers, I wouldn't have any better luck in the federal district courts, but all my cases have federal subject matter jurisdiction. So I called Kay up to see if she'd help me since I withdrew my cases. I had got four criminal cases dropped. So you got 42 U.S.C. 1983 civil rights violations, violations of the Fourth Amendment, plus I'm disabled, ADA subsections 12101. And she said, you got four cases dropped? I go, yeah, over 1,400 days. She says, maybe one or two, but not four. I said, okay, no problem. So you don't want to touch any? Not really. Okay, well, how about, you know, I was suing the hotel industry and I sued lawyers. She sued law firms? I said, yeah, three. She goes, no, don't want to get involved in that. And I'm like, okay, all right. You know, it's a big club and I'm not in it. So, right? Okay. And keep in mind, she's a small law firm out of Glastonbury. She'd be up against some huge people. And she saw that in the FOIA hearing. Once she realized Homeland Security was involved, boy, we can talk about how she ruffled papers and got flustered, understandably, and started asking about porta potties as opposed to following up on that Homeland Security drop in the signing roster. But so what I'm trying to say is, so then I said to her, well, how about SSDI? Well, what did you get so far? Anyway, she didn't want to handle anything that I had brought to her. So then I said, can I ask you about the Sandy Hook proceedings, the FOIA hearing? She said, yes. I said, okay, good. I said, can you explain to me when subpoenas were violated, why is it that the judge didn't enter any bench warrants? I only gave her those two pieces to begin with to see how she'd respond. And she said, well, the police didn't feel there was any warrant for that, and they wouldn't act. I paused. I said, Kay, you're an officer of the court. What kind of a lawyer are you? She said, a trial attorney. I said, okay, those are your subpoenas. The police have nothing to do with it at that point. This is a judicial proceeding. You're the lawyer representing Wolf. You have fiduciary duties to him. When your subpoenas are violated, it's up to you to motion that judge. Judge, motion to find the people who did not respond and show up, lack of appearance, in contempt. Please enter issue a bench warrant for their arrest. That's what happens when people don't show up and they're subpoenaed in sworn hearings. And everybody was sworn in under penalty of perjury in those hearings. So I asked her, Kay, I said, so what's going on? She said, it was a long time ago. I ruined my life and I won't be bullied. But this is what the lawyers do. I had a law lawyer had me arrested for trespassing, breach of peace, when I was praising Jesus, to go into his office, being sent by another lawyer to go see him. They'll find anything. Don't forget, if a lawyer's lips are moving, for the most part, they're lying, Jim. You know what I mean? And there's a couple of jokes I can tell, but maybe not appropriate for the moment regarding lawyers. But anyway,
sure.
So I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh, okay. And that pretty much ended the conversation. What could be said? I don't want to be charged with harassment again. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa. And so I just backed off, said, okay, thank you very much. Now, when I talked to Wolf about this, because I did talk to him three times, his gracious enough to pick.
Bill, take a deep breath. We'll be right back with Bill Bonatotti talking about Sandy Hook. And Bill, check my book, James H. Fitzgerald. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Bill, you're making so many sensational points. I'm already looking forward to a return engagement, having you back to talk about more. Let me just say, we have said, I have asserted, that in this video, there is evidence the whole event was a scam. Let's pick up on some of that, then we can return to these other issues. Here's one of the images, Bill. Talk about it.
Okay, what we have here is, you've got Lenny Posner during the video, let's just call it the Netflix propaganda episode, is at a computer screen. And he's talking about how he got websites got taken down. And this is what flashes across the screen. And fortunately, it flashes pretty quick. There's a couple of things that, and we caught it. And what you have here is with Jim, this looks like comes right out of Jim's book.
Yeah.
You want to tell what it is, Jim?
Well, it turns out there was that very famous photograph, I have it here, of a string of kids seemingly being led to safety by a policewoman. And by the way, the kids are putting their hands on the shoulders of the kids in front of him, and unbeknownst to the world, but which I learned from my sources who participated in the drill, there's a school for autistic kids very near Sandy Hook. And they have said to me the participants in this string were autistic schools for what's known as the Adventure Center, which is very high security. They visited the Adventure Center. They had their license plate surveyed. They had to show ID and so forth. And it even appears they moved some playground equipment from the Adventure Center over to Sandy Hook to make it look as though it was a school with a playground when actually it was a school without. And it's very telling because the equipment is so new. Well, this photograph was and modest. In other words, if you're supposed to have a school, which according to Steven Studinsky, who did the final report on Sandy Hook, took him a year to do it, where 489 students there that day, minus 20 were killed, 469 who needed to be evacuated. No evacuation took place. There were also 70 custodians, janitors, staff that needed evacuation. No evacuation took place. No buses were in there. So the whole thing was a scam. And if you look at this very modest playground equipment, it's like it would handle a half a dozen or 20 kids, not 500 or, you know, just absurd. But the fact is, Shannon Hicks, who is a Newtown Bee photojournalist, has acknowledged taking this photograph, but also a second photograph taken minutes earlier where you can see a different figure at the front of the line. It's a little girl in a pink sweater and a short skirt. So what's happening is, while there are parents there casually looking on with their arms folded, hands in their pocket. Indeed, if you do a close-up, Bill, you can see there are a couple of parents in the background casually looking on, leading me to describe this photograph as lounging at the massacre. They are actually rearranging the kids to get a better shot. And believe it or not, Lenny Posner has that on his computer.
We couldn't believe it.
It blows the whole thing apart. I mean, this is among the most suppressed, you know, photographs of the entire event.
Yes.
And she, yes. Shannon Hicks, by the way, has acknowledged taking both of the photographs. A formal inquiry was made by William Shanley, who is a film producer director, who was seeking to expose. He filed a $1 trillion lawsuit on Sandy Hook. And guess what? In Connecticut, he had a very abbreviated lifespan thereafter and was found dead. That's what happens, Bill, just as you are describing.
Yeah, well, Robert David Steele talked about that when he was talking about false flags, how the CIA, they have a false federal warrants on the federal level. And then, of course, psych wards, and finally, ultimately, suicided. So this is what happens. He described it very accurately. So, there was that. Plus, there was also, we caught a picture flashed at the same time of Sandy Hook School with no windows blown out, but the crime tape up. Remember?
Yes. Here it is. Here it is, Bill. I don't think they realized how devastating is this photograph, because here you have four windows of classroom 10 that are later shown to be shot out, but they're perfectly intact here. You got crime scene tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. We have another photograph like that. It's in the book and elsewhere, where you can see in this version, you have the SWAT team already on the scene, crime scene tape up, windows undamaged, and I published in the book and in my multiple presentations, you can see them on many places on the internet. Go to BitChute, my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and do a search on Sandy Hook. Here, Bill, you can see in the upper left corner the windows as they appear in that photograph. On the right, how in particular the second panel is all blown out. In the lower left, you can see the perps looking at the window to try to figure out what to do about it. And what they ultimately did in the lower right was drill holes in the aluminum window frame. Bill, this is as telling as it gets. Here we have pink rods inserted into those drilled holes, and they're all exactly parallel. Anyone with familiarity with marksmanship would tell you this is a fabricated. They were fabricating evidence, Bill. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. It's obvious that they had to do something, set it up. And you, with your experience as a U.S. Marine Corps commanding officer, weapons, ballistics, explosives, can see all this. It's amazing. See, I've learned a lot listening to you and Wolf and all your other team members, including Gary King. Kudos to him. And seeing this, it's unfathomable how this has gotten over on the people, simply because people are in crisis mode. They're all working multiple jobs. They see the headlines. They don't have time. They're in survival mode. Then they see the smear jobs on you and Wolf and James Tracy. Now Alice Jones, more of the same, which we can get into, which is in this video. I don't know if it's time. Stop me if you want to, Jim, but I think it's important to recognize when I was talking to Wolf and I asked him what happened in the last FOIA hearing. He said, well, he tried to get Kay to follow up on the questions regarding direct questions regarding that sign-in roster and the sign, and she wasn't doing what he wanted. So we kind of dismissed during the hearing and tried to ask the questions himself. And he said they wouldn't answer. And then he said, did you know I was named on the Alice Jones lawsuit as a defendant in Connecticut? It's like, no way. They already dropped it against you in Florida upon discovery, deposition hearings, and the legal arrest got dropped. That warrant was false. I said, what happened? He goes, well, I just told Norm Pattis, who is Alex Jones' attorney, to simply adjudicate the FOIA hearings. He says, depose me, Wolf says, and then subpoena the people who violated subpoena. And by the way, there was constant non-production of documents. But in a FOIA hearing, you don't have subpoena power there. So the thing to do is adjudicate this in civil, where you can subpoena those witnesses again and subpoena the documents that weren't provided to flush this all out. But of course, Norm didn't do any of that, and it went to default summary judgment, which is a civil rights death penalty clause. Unpack that. In other words, just like Jim experienced on a summary judgment in Wisconsin, the judge sets aside evidence as non-evidence. In Alex Jones's case, it's all a big scam because supposedly he didn't supply non-specific financials, according to attorney Robert Barnes, yet he supplied thousands of pages of evidence. And Alex Jones, who goes into a proceeding? Let's play devil's advocate, Jim. Let's say the thing really happened, right? An affirmative defense is what you would create, and your lawyer and you'd say, well, gee, based on the 2012 FBI crime table 8 that says zero murders, nobody here, by the way, has ever sued the DOJ or FBI. How am I getting sued? Right? That's an affirmative defense. And then also, well, based on the FOIA hearings, which you sent Dave Badondi to April 24th hearing, and there's at the end of that hearing that's on Rumble, you see Dave interviewing Wolf, and I don't want to get too deep in that right now, but it all ties together. It's kind of hard not to talk about it all because it's interwoven to this.
Well, what it really means, there's so many lines of proof that this whole thing was a scam, and they're trying to suppress them all by giving, in the case of this film, it's a sob story. You don't have any evidence of death. You have a bunch of crisis actors pretending they lost children at Sandy Hook.
Right.
Many of them aren't even married, for crying out loud. They're using fake names. Yeah. The whole thing is phony baloney. But they interviewed me, Bill. They interviewed me for this. In fact, I see now in retrospect, they came and did an interview with me where I laid out all this information. I gave them everything. Mm-hmm. I gave them the FEMA drill. I gave them the FBI Consolidated Crime Report. I gave them these photographs. I gave them lock, stock, and barrel proof that it was a scam. And they used me because I told Wolfgang I thought they were sincere on the up and up in order to induce Wolfgang, James Tracy. I also encouraged what I believe he declined wisely in order to interview Wolf so they could set him up to be a target. And then they cut all my evidence out. So what they did was create a straw man. They put Wolf up there and they targeted him after trashing him by abusing the law and left me on the cutting room floor. So you get only one point of view when there's a mass of evidence they already have in their possession. They know better. But they're part and parcel of the scam, Bill. It's outrageous.
And I'll tell you what, righteous indignation. I get really upset. My father was a naval pilot, aircraft carrier pilot. I didn't get drafted. I got a scholarship to Fordham on football. Then I went to URI. Then you talked a little bit. I got signed by the Pats in 85 and open combine for free agents invite. And then at a linebacker, which I never played, I was a pulling guard. And then the Rough Riders. The point I'm trying to make is that the righteous indignation that comes up I have ultimate respect for you military guys. And when I was working for Shaw Environmental, certified by Caterpillar, operate 4 pieces of equipment with a 40-hour HAZWOPer material handling and PPE cert, I worked at Camp Pendleton with EOD guys. And Fred asked me, would you work with these EOD guys, you know, removing unexploded ordnance, you know, work with them, walk with them when we don't have, they have the equipment work for you to do, operate the equipment? I said, sure. You know, well, let me say, 5 guys got blown up, Marines, young Marines, before we got there. That's why we were brought in. And then in 2013, you can see the press release. After we had left, 4 more young guys died. So I'm obviously against war. I'm like Scott Ritter, Judge Knapp, Gerald Salente, yourself. But I did to see that what really pisses me off, plain and simple, is to see military veterans like yourself, like Wolf, who served in Vietnam, like Robert David Steele, be attacked by this corrupt gangster, bankster government. It's the best way to put it. It infuriates me. It is so disrespectful. And it just, you know, I want to go in there and, if I could, you know, fight for you all. So this is why I'm here. And I appreciate you seeing what I have to say is valuable, where I can make comments. I want to mention real quick, we have information in Sandy Hook. We need to talk about Sandy Hook in Rumble. Now, Jim, I don't know if you posted that in your blog, but where I believe the third presenter, my best recollection, is a woman who compares the dash cam footage they have of a police car, I think it's the state police, all the way across the parking lot, and the police report. She's like, okay, well, at this time, whatever, pick a number, I can't remember, 10, 30 odd, this mass of children is supposed to be evacuated. What did we see? Well, part of it's, there's a part of that where it goes to nothing, and then it comes back, like black screen, and we don't see any kids evacuated. Then there's supposed to be a mass of adults evacuated. Same thing, doesn't go black, though. We're watching, there's no mass of adults evacuated. Then another tranche of kids are supposed to be being evacuated. Doesn't happen. It's right there, ladies and gentlemen. You can go into Rumble and see it yourself, right? And I don't know if Jim's going to post that. And then also, I wanted to mention in Sandy Hook, Line, and Sinker, where Wolfgang is, it shows exactly the exchanges between Wolf and AJ. And then you are interviewed by, who were you interviewed on that one, Jim? You were talking to somebody who was actually, quote, introduction to Wolfgang Halbach, Sandy Hook Revisited. He draws out the fake scenario. Do you recall who you were being interviewed by in that Sandy Hook Line and Sinker video, Jim?
I've done so many interviews, Bill. If we went back and look, I could probably figure it out. But off the top of my head, no, I can't.
Well, it's in the public domain. You can find it. I use Yandex as a browser, which, by the way, I saw a good report on Yandex, even in your site, you know, where you have, you know, your good people there, all military, PIs, police. I mean, you guys, I'm honored to be in the company with you people, really, to even be considered to be here today and offer something that you find valuable. And, so getting back to the Sandy Hook, Line, and Sinker video, obviously, do we have any of that being brought out that no one's evacuated? We have the police dash cam footage, time and date stamped. Do we have the fraudulent police report? Of course not.
I've got that in various of my videos, you know, that according to the police report, evacuation were taking place here and here and here at these specific times, and we have dash cam for here and here and here at those times, and there's nothing going on. No evacuation whatsoever.
Right. What they do is they use summary judgment to set aside evidence. That's how corrupt the judges are. They know. They're actors. They're actors for the state. They know what their role is, and they use this, weaponize the judicial system, the civil system. Now, this video, in my opinion, exposes Alex Jones as a complete fraud and a liar, just like Milton William Cooper pointed out for his death. And you can find that if you use Yandex, Milton William Cooper on Alex Jones. We can put it into the blog, wherever Jim would like.
You're talking about the truth versus Alex Jones is exposing him as the fraud, right?
Right. Well, we're exposing the truth versus Alex Jones, but I just go back to Milton William Cooper, God rest in peace, where he called out Alex Jones, where he was Alex Jones interviewed him when he was 24. I found that video. They're talking about the New World Order, et cetera, as Milton William Cooper did, and the Illuminati, the secret societies, as JFK alluded to in his 1961 speech before the press corps, as what's really running this world into ruin. And then Alex Jones makes an assertion on a podcast that he had to shut down Milton William Cooper due to some abusive verbiage and whatever else. And Milton William Cooper does an Hour of the Time podcast where he responds that that didn't happen. He has three callers call in and say none of that happened. And all that you can find, by the way, I have an X account. It's under W. Bonatotti. And it was under William J. Bonatotti, W. Bonatotti, but I changed it to the Italiano Clydesdale. I'm too big and fat to be a stallion, Jim. I'm in the class of the Clydesdale stage of my life.
I like Clydesdales, Bill. I think they're magnificent.
So you can go to my ex account under W. Bonatotti, and you will see a bunch of this plus historical revisionism. God bless Fred Luchter and Ivan Legace and Ernst Sundell. It's all there. For some bizarre reason, they haven't banned me. I don't know why. I don't know why they let me do it. I'm shadow banned, but they let me do all this. And so
I think that's it. I think that's it. I think that's it, Bill. You're shadow banned. So you're putting up the hundreds of these short posts that are devastating, but nobody's getting to see them. They're up there. They probably think they're entertaining themselves by realizing he thinks he's doing a lot of good, but we're not letting the world learn anything he's explaining. But he's sure nailing it again and again and again.
Right? And so I call out Elon. Let's talk about briefly, because this, well, I don't know. Did the Elon interview with Jimmy, I'm sorry, with AJ, and then the Jimmy Dore interview, God, that's got to be talked about. Put a pin in that. I do have 73 followers, though. I have, or I'm now 72. I must have said something about somebody. I can care less. And so I do have some, and who knows who they are. So anyone out there, follow me and spread the word. And I do retweet things, so you keep up on current things. And things Jim sends me by email, I put in. I can't do everything because, you know, I already have 1,000 posts, over 1,000 posts. It would just get overwhelming. You'd never find, you know, get lost in it. So anyway, I'm disabled, housebound, full-time. I can't litigate anymore. So this is how I keep myself going, keep my brain sharp. And again, I really enjoy the working with you, Jim. Do you want me to hold off? Do you want
your brain
at this point?
Your brain is very sharp. I'm so impressed with you, Bill, in so many ways. Let's see if we can pull up another one of the proofs. Oh, they showed the gun that's supposed to have been used there, and there it is. And look at the corroded barrel. But Scott Bennett, a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, said this was a Vietnam-era weapon. So, you know, what in the world is it doing there? It's so corroded, and yet in some of their other photographs, they have a nice, nifty-looking AR-15. And, of course, he's supposed to have hauled in all this equipment, a Sig Sauer and a Glock, as well as a Bushmaster, and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Bill, you're used to physical activity. How could this string being 6 feet, 112 pounds, have hauled all these hundreds of rounds of ammo and these weapons into the school?
Not possible. I used to train athletes, even high school kids. It's not possible. I was a coach in high school football, and obviously that didn't happen. He also had Asperger's, and as Wolf points out, that affects motor function. There's no way that he could perform what he claimed he did, killing all these kids, or what the police claim he did on all the circumstances. Within 8 minutes or so, they're all determined dead. Who made the determination? It has to be an MD. It can't even be an EMT. Plus, of course, we know they weren't allowed in the school. Their sworn statements that came out, Wolf, in the FOIA hearings, that it's just a total fraud. Playing the American people. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to add, before we hit the break, and I'm going to invite your calls, the number is 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727, to speak to Bill and me. Go to my blog and you can download Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, the redacted edition. You can download Sandy Hook Truth, a redacted edition. Again, just one sentence had to be removed. It's all there, and you can share it far and wide with anyone who's got a remotely open mind. They are going to be dumbfounded. And, of course, you can see how they operate within the law. They create all these phony lawsuits. None of which, by the way, none of these cases have ever gone to a jury for a decision on the merit. None. They've all been decided on the basis of presupposition or assumption, or in Alex's case, an alleged failure of discovery, or in my case, by the judge simply setting all my evidence aside as unreasonable. Why? Because he took for granted Sandy Hook was real. It's outrageous, Bill. It's just stunning. And the public has to understand how our judicial system is abused, which I further documented in another blog, the demolition of justice in the USA you can find, where I discuss five different lawsuits, the last of which is my Sandy Hook. Check it out, jameshfetzer.org. Bill, we're going to hit a break, but you can squeeze in a word or two, and then we'll return.
Okay, let's not forget Sloppy Sniper, the actor portraying a FBI SWAT team member. You interviewed, there was Barry Sorotaro using the pseudonym who discovered all that. Kudos to him. And then Carl Gallops also had another separate video. Officer Carl Gallops is now a minister in Florida who commented on that. Anyone who has ever, I got an NRA as a youth certificate at 12. My neighbor used to take me hunting. And anyone who watched that, it's so revealing. No one ever who's trained to carry a weapon would carry a gun upside down by the magazine, pulling back, or shoulder harness dailing, that
I know.
Fire off. And oh my God, there's so much evidence here. And you're right, they go to summary judgment every time. Alex Jones is playing a perfect stooge here. Talk about screwing us on freedom of speech, and then making people believe they don't have a right in court, because the courts are so corrupt. What they did to you, they made examples out of you and Wolf, smearing everybody and using this fraudulent summary judgment system when you have adverse evidence, according to the Seventh Amendment, and it was over a $20 issue, believe it or not, it's an old common law. You're entitled to a jury trial based on the merits, period. Period. None of this set aside information by a corrupt judge. They are not the fact finder. They are not the fact finder. The jury is the fact finder. The judge is like the referee in layman's term who's supposed to run his courtroom according to the law rule book, the statutes they're in, case law, common law. And when we witness this, and this is one thing Robert Barnes did a good job of doing with Viva Free, is tearing apart the civil proceedings. Unfortunately, he didn't incorporate everything else. The FOIAs, which is flabbergasting to me that even Viva Free is a former attorney. How did not know this? Plus, of course, Alex Jones knows all this because he interviewed Wolf. He sent Dave Badani. God bless Dave. And boy, did he get screwed too. And that he's another one who got, and him got smeared in this rag of a report by
Stand
Netflix.
By. And we need to expose it. Stand by. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I stepped away from the computer for a moment so that if anyone is called, I wasn't able to bring you in. Call again now. The number, 608-957-8727. 608-957-8727. Bill, your further thoughts. I mean,
First of all, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I just have somebody calling, okay. So I'll bring them in.
We have freedom of speech issues here. Give me a couple minutes, Jim, and then we'll take calls. I might answer a lot of their questions. You have federal subject matter jurisdiction under the First Amendment freedom of speech. You have case laws that prohibit, in the federal level, that prohibit states from limiting freedom of speech. Three in particular, Brandenburg versus Ohio, New York Times versus Sullivan, Snyder versus Phelps. The defense attorneys for... if this draw to hypothetical, have 30 days to remove a case from state to federal court. The place to fight this would have been federal court. Norm Pattis should have motioned, not even motioned, it's a procedure that he would notify the court. He's going to remove that to federal court. He might have to have one hearing with the judge and remove that case to federal and fight on the case laws, the legal precedent to get this thing thrown out. We cannot have this. Since when? How about weapons of mass destruction? Did you see those reporters sued when there was no weapons of mass destruction? This is absolutely absurd. Then I want to point out, you also have a legal precedent, the 2003 Florida Fox appellate case brought by employees. It's unfortunate what happened to them there, but the court decided there's the rule, the FCC rule, regarding telling the truth, it doesn't constitute breaking the law if they don't tell the truth. So that case got thrown out, and Fox prevailed there. You also, I think I have that cited correctly. This is the best of my recollection. You also have Tucker Carlson, who was sued for damage and defamation. This has nothing to do with Dominion. It was before that. The affirmative defense there was simply Tucker Carlson. No one would take him seriously as the news. We don't bill him as the news. He's an opinion show. As such, he's actually an actor, and this is entertainment. Case got thrown out. You had the same thing with Rachel Maddow. Same scenario. You have legal precedent. There is no grounds for this case to go forward, any way, shape, or form. Yeah. You also have...
Alex Jones fits that model better than Rachel or Tucker. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Tucker, and I despise Rachel, but Alex... He had all kinds of defenses, Bill. I think it's because they wanted this to go forward because they're operating as agents of the state. They want to set an example to scare anyone who wants to even talk about Sandy Hook right out of their wits. Fortunately, there are a few of us who are not intimidated by all this bullshit, but it's outrageous how the judicial system has been weaponized for political purposes by Barack Obama. I tell you, this guy is going to go down in history as a black blot on American history.
Some say one of the antichrists, Jim. Okay, so here, call them. So moving on, I want to point out a couple more quick things. Elon Musk interview with Alex Jones. I did send you an email. I put it in Skype where I'm trying to remember the time. Around 4 minutes, 33 seconds, best of recollection. They're talking about professors, school safety officers, Alex Jones alluding to them. He you're losing them earlier. He starts by saying he didn't go to college. He totally disqualifies himself as credible in anything he's doing. He never went to college. He got into it in 2000. He was like he wasn't qualified. Then 2012, 12 years later, he's still not competent. You got to be freaking kidding me. Jimmy Dore is more competent than Alex Jones, if that's the case. And then you have Elon, of course, with his one God. Bless him. Sorry that he lost his son in his arms. But that would disqualify him as a potential jurist because he'd be obviously impossible to be impartial. So he starts that out with the assumption the school shootings happened and that it would be abhorrent. I forget the exact verbiage to say they didn't. No, the issue is they often, according to Robert David Steele, there's four more shooters. Four more victims, not including the shooter. He says it's almost always contrived. Robert David Steele on false flags. So we need to pull back the false flags. We cannot have this assumption that all these domestic alleged casualty events are real.
Bill. Yes. We have a couple callers here, and you're, of course, right. Okay. And if you go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org, at the bottom, you can download my false flag stage event checklist with Brian Davidson to get confirmation of everything Bill's telling you right here and now. We have two callers. Let's start with 408 area code. Is that you, Brian?
God damn it. You don't know my phone number by now?
Oh, Paul, it's thrilling to hear you. I know. I can't believe it. It's like I forget it from day to day, Paul. I'm delighted to have you here, Paul. Go ahead.
Thank you for saying that. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, no, 408 is always Paul. I forget what Brian's area code is, but, So here's the thing. So, you know, the guest that you have, and I'm sorry, I forgot your first name, but
Bill Bonatotti.
Yeah, great. No, I was listening throughout. I didn't listen continuously to the show, but throughout, you know, I kept popping in and caught a good deal of it, including just the last few minutes. And here's what I would say. Okay, God bless you, but here's the thing. Let's talk about reality versus conceptual, all right? So it's only conceptual that we have a constitution, okay? In reality, we really don't, all right? Jim's heard me say on this show going back at least 7 or 8 years that there is no law, okay? There's no court precedent, right? There's no case law. In my opinion, you know, they throw a lot of procedures out the window as well. I've seen it with my own eyes, and Jim knows very well that I predicted everything that would happen in his case, including the fact that he wouldn't even be allowed to defend himself or even make an argument. So we don't really have a legal system based upon any principles. If it's based upon any principle at all, it's judicial discretion and cheating. Okay. I've seen it firsthand myself. Okay. They ignore the law. Forget about case law, which isn't really law. Okay. They ignore case law. They ignore precedent. And in many cases, they ignore the law. And I could give particular examples that I've witnessed myself in court, but that's irrelevant. I think it's important to just draw back and say, yes, the whole thing was fake. I knew it was fake. Many people knew it was fake. Miles Mathis wrote about it pretty much before it was over, exposing the paper on how the whole thing was a fraud. I mean, they had multiple cameras with different angles. Most jurisdictions, not all, but most jurisdictions don't allow courtroom cameras anyway. You have to have a courtroom artist. That's why you get those sketch artists. So is it just, do they pick and choose? I find that hard to believe considering that there are actual statutes in many jurisdictions that prohibit it. So essentially, not always, but essentially every trial that we see on television is a fake trial. And of course, Alex Jones has a long history of being a shill, a sellout, and a buffoon. I'm almost done with my brief rant. Thanks for letting me go on. Here's my first reaction to what you talked about earlier in the show with Iran, Jim, and the strike against Israel, where they didn't really hurt anybody or break anything, but they did a show of force, or what they call, Scott Ritter called a proof of a concept, okay? And to me, this is ridiculous because the real world, right, Israel does hurt people and break things and kill people. Yeah. And they do project power. And to me, I'm looking at this thing. I'm going to myself, okay, what good is it if no real military damage or anything of significance happens to Israel?
You must have missed my report of yesterday, Paul, because more authentic report, they killed 44 Mossad and took out two airfields, the airfields from which the strikes on the consulate had been launched. These were the missiles that got through. The only missiles that got through, they were hypersonic. There were seven of them that hit. And that's what he meant, proof of concept that Iran can't penetrate the Israeli defenses. And even when they're supplemented by the U.S., the U.K., France, and Jordan, for God's sake.
Okay. Oh, so that I would stand corrected because all I heard was the Scott Ritter thing that you played this morning. I was not aware. I'm dubious of all these claims until I can, you know, get a lot of verification. But okay, that changes my take on it a little bit if it's all true. But that's what we always have to be mindful of. And I don't really think there's a wave of panic or you know, despair in Israel because they know they can always count on us to back them up. I think that whatever
Listen, I don't know how this is going to affect you since you're a nuke skeptic, but I had a report, a call during the show that I've not followed up yet, saying that there's a report that Putin called Netanyahu to inform him that Iran does have nukes, which they would have obtained from North Korea by my bet. This is going to change the equation completely, Paul. And I know you don't have to reassert you're a nuke skeptic. I'm saying this is a big deal. And based upon the reliability of the source, I believe it will pan out to be true, and it may usher in a new era of stability in the Middle East as a consequence. I've been encouraging Iran to acquire nukes forever because we had the mutually assured destruction between the USSR and the U.S. for 40 years because each side knew if they attacked the other, they'd be obliterating themselves. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay.
But I do have another caller, Paul, so I've got to go ahead.
Okay, so fine. I'm not going to reassert my position. I want you to bring on the next caller, but I will simply state this. Based upon what you just said, it's going to usher in a new era of stability, you just claimed. Okay, great. So then what difference does it make if there's nukes, right? If there's nukes, but nobody uses them and everything is conventional because both sides have nukes, does it really matter whether nukes exist or not? I'm going to restate my position. I'm not going to reassert my position on nukes, but I'll restate what I said to you many, many times. There will be no nuclear weapons used, and there will be no nuclear war, period. Bet on it. Take it to the bank. It's all fear propaganda.
Paul, I wish I could buy into that. Bill, would you like to respond to Paul before I bring in our next caller?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, well, I'll talk about the legal aspects. You're absolutely right. I experienced that. It was a shocker for me. I've been taught all the propaganda my whole life. We might as well be talking about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Once you get to court, it's holodeck law. That was litigation vortex. That was Linda Kennedy who lost her law license exposing all this. You can find that on TulaneLink.com. So yeah, I agree. But the thing is, we have to kind of function within the system and then try and expose it. I don't think we have any other option, especially for Jim when he gets sued. And that's why we're talking about trying to understand exactly the anomalies in this, for lack of a better word, the violations of his civil rights and everybody else's here. So that's why I talk about it in those contexts. But I do agree with you fundamentally. We have nothing. It's complete kabuki theater, for lack of a better word.
Okay, area code 518. If I'm right, it's Frank. If I'm wrong, maybe Brian. Go ahead, 518. Join the conversation.
Hey, Jim, it's Frank. I want to thank you. And Bill did a great job. And I always love hearing Paul. And, Jim, I'd like to say a few years ago in Veterans Today, there was an article, okay, and the name of it was Sandy Hook Spinning Out of Control. And they were showing all of the, you know, the holes in the original story. And I think it was by a guy named Niall Ferguson, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. You may recall because I know you used to write for Veterans Today. But anyway, I've tried to run that thing down, and I can't get it. I can't find it anywhere. And, you know, they were showing actual films, okay, of a local TV station. Okay, flying around out there, you could see that. You could see the helicopters, and they had the local cops had pinned the guy. Okay, up in the woods. Okay, the guy was in camos. All right, do you remember that?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they went up there and they pinned him, and I believe he was from, you know, like you said, they had that whatchamajig, the FEMA thing going on. He was probably part of that. You know, we never hear anything about that. You know, it's just, you know,
this kid went in there. That's still out there, Frank. Bill and I watched something that had that featured in it of late. I mean, it's that's not lost forever. It just appears to have been a red herring. I mean, nobody died. He's saying I didn't do it, but it is so peculiar that you had this odd guy in camo running through the woods behind the school and that they never really followed it up. I mean, that was an embarrassment. I don't know quite how that happened. I mean, it's like he wandered onto the set and the director wasn't able to cut him off. Go ahead, Frank.
The whole thing is an embarrassment. You know, that kid, I think he shoots his mother, okay, and then he drives over to the school, and he's got the body armor on or whatever. I think he weighed 120 pounds himself, and he's got about 50 pounds of...
112.
Is that what it was? Okay, so he probably, I don't know, he must have had probably 40 or 50 pounds on him, you know, and he drove over there, and, you know, the kid, I think he had, like, Asperger's or something, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know...
According to the story, I mean, it's all bullshit, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, they gave us two stories, or they let him into the school where he shot his way in. You know, and are all of these people going to be huddled up in one room so he could come in and just mow them down? I mean, the whole story was bullshit, and we know it, you know what I mean? But, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah, I mean,
putting up a photograph of the blowout in the glass, plate glass, where all these cops are supposed to have come in. I mean, it's a ridiculous story, just ridiculous. Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's amazing they got away with it. And I think you believe, and I think a lot of other people believe, wasn't Eric Holder there prior to that? And kind of, you know, worked out a deal.
According to my sources, he came down to Newtown in 2006 and offered him $114 million to participate in this hoax.
And I've heard subsequently that some of these families, I think they've been furnished with houses or whatever. I mean, you know, it's the whole thing is bullshit. But, you know, unfortunately, if you talk to the average person on the street, you know, they just go along with it. And, you know, Alex Jones's trial, I mean, you know, he just threw it in to me, in my opinion. I sent his, Mattis, or what's his name? Pattis. I think Norm Pattis is his lawyer. I sent him a couple things, and I said, you're a disgusting, you know, example of a lawyer. I said, I would have been screaming in there, whether they put you under contempt or throw you out or whatever. But, you know, we got to have some evidence, brought in here. And they waited, what was it, 6 years after Alex supposedly put that stuff out that they brought the suit against him? I mean, the whole thing has been bullshit, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's 90% of the people out there that just buy what they hear on the mainstream media and go along with that stuff. And they don't see you guys like you and Bill, you know, and Paul, actually, you know, who go into these things, delve into them, and let's pull them apart a little bit and see what's going on. And obviously, that was bullshit from the beginning. And it's unfortunate. I got a friend of mine I used to play softball with. He was a New York State trooper. He's retired now himself. But when I told him about, you're crazy. I was talking to a trooper over there, and they told us this, and they told us that. Well, I remember Charlie Giuliani was reporting, and the head of the state police over there come out and said, if anybody starts putting out stories, you know, that are different, veer off what we're telling the people, the story that we're providing, you know, you might be charged with some charges or something. I mean, it was just crazy.
Just saying. Yeah. Frank, these are all great points. Let me bring back Paul while he's here.
Sure.
Paul, give further comments of yours.
Well, you know, the idea that this guy Holder could just go throw around hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, and everything that we see today, it's super clear. All this is the Jews with their phony, counterfeit, unlimited supply of fiat money are buying the world that they want to force us to live in. Okay, it's just that simple. And you can see now why historically there were so many things that were odious about these people. And of course, chief among them was their so-called usurious interest rates. But in reality, all right, when you actually get down to see what's going on today, their interest rate is essentially infinity. And this was actually made pretty clear to me back in the mid 80s when I attended a seminar on the creation of money and the central banking mechanism and so forth. It's really astounding what they've done to us. I mean, this so-called fractional reserve system, it's just nothing. That's compared to what they can do. So basically, we have to take away from them what historically we used to do. We have to take away their ability to live amongst us. If we put them in settlements somewhere, they pretty much have to be walled out, walled off, and have a passport coming to and from. And they cannot ever be allowed to use or possess or to buy and sell with our currency, with the currency of a Western civilized country. They can use their own money, shekels, and that's it. That's it, because they do the same thing over and over. The
Paul, great points, great points, great points. Let me bring Bill back in. Bill, your thoughts.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, Paul, I agree. Did you hear this? I'm trying to remember where it is. In Russia, they actually built a city for the Jewish folks to go to. I don't recall. I think it's in eastern Russia. It's actually in a temperate climate. They don't want to go there. It's this beautiful city. It's mostly unoccupied, from what I understand.
When was this? When was this?
When was the city built? You know, gosh.
This is not contemporary, right?
No. This would be decades, decades ago.
So, Bill, I'm assuming you've heard the term "pale settlement" or "beyond the pale."
Right.
So the Russians had what were known as pale settlements, where they kept the Jews separated from their main societies. Similar in Europe, where they had the Jewish quarter, right? Which sometimes it was a little less than a quarter, sometimes it was a quarter of an area, the city, where that was where the Jews lived, the Jewish quarter. So these people knew well. I would highly recommend to you a movie called Yude Seuss. I'll send the link again to Jim, and he can share it with you. It was a movie made in 1940 by the Germans, and it's excellent. And it basically just spells out, when you see it, it's excellent. The production value, the costumes, the sets, the acting, superb. And you can clearly see what we're looking at today. And the Germans made this movie in 1940, and it was about what occurred in the 1700s in Germany. So this is nothing new. It's just a reincarnation of the same thing these people have been doing for 2,000 plus years. Zionism is not a thing. It's just a concept. It's the behavior of the racial biology that we all experience in many different societies. You know, 109 times they've been kicked out. Well, that's not because of Zionism. That's because of Jewish behavior. So while we allow exceptions for individual Jews that are not part of it, we have to view these things in the aggregate, because this is an aggregate discussion.
Good points, Paul. Frank, would you like to add further?
Well, I think Paul's right on the money. I mean, I think one of the protocols, as I recall, is control the gold. And they say who controls the gold makes the rules. And, you know, they've been involved in the financial, you know, all of the systems all around the world, except for a couple of countries, you know, with their central banks and controlling that. And, you know, we got the Federal Reserve. They make up money. You know, they used to have to print money. I think now they just can make a few keystrokes and create money. And they loan it to us, and we got to pay that back with interest. I mean, look at, what do we have, $35 trillion, $37 trillion? It's a joke. This is never going to be paid off. Are you familiar with a jubilee? We need a jubilee.
Right.
We need
it. I agree, Frank. Just dispense with all that. Just nullify it. Say it's all void. It means nothing. Zilch. Nada. End it. Yeah, I agree, Frank.
Go ahead.
One last thought. Give us a final thought, Frank.
Okay, you know, I don't know who we owe this $35 trillion to. I'm sure it's the bankers somewhere or whatever, whether they're in China or the States or all around. If they've got 10,000 employees in those places, if we give them all $10 million, I think they should be happy and just go away with the rest of that debt. Okay, call it a jubilee, whatever, but, you know, that'll never be paid off. It's a joke, and they should just write it off. If we're going to be around in 3 or 4 years, I don't know, we keep fucking with Russia and China, we might not be.
Frank, thanks. Paul, a final thought.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Paul, a final thought.
Well, I don't know if I have one. There's never a final thought with me.
Okay, you made many great points. Bill, I can't thank you enough. I want us to do it again. How about next Wednesday, my friend? Let's do this again. There's so much more to cover. You've been fantastic. Give us your final thought, Will. What should we be taking away from the Alex Jones show trial in this film, The Truth versus Alex Jones, which is anything but.
Yeah, we need to expose Alex Jones for what he's done here, to Milton William Cooper, to you, to everybody on your team. that helped you write the book, all the good people who put together so much energy and effort. Wolfgang, God bless them. I really feel my heart goes out to all you, how it's affected your families and the smear job you've all encountered. It's just a disgrace. And I agree with Paul and Frank. Something needs to be done. I listen to Carl Herman talk about this and Joel Olson and Chris Reinhart. I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, I don't. But it does need to happen, God willing, somehow, for the future of humanity. As far as wrapping up the fraudulent Netflix thing, I think there's more we can talk about next week, continue exposing that, and how it affects your possibility of getting some redress and motion to open judgment and fraud on the court pursuant Federal Evidence Rule 60, intrinsic fraud on the court. And fraud vitiates everything, U.S. versus Throckmorton. Just to throw a few things out there that we can discuss next week, if you like, to bring a little bit more of the legal verbiage into it, try and help people understand what the framework is supposed to be doing for us that it isn't, you know. And and more specifically, especially in regards to your chance to get some financial redress in this matter, and Wolf and everybody.
Well, thanks so much to Paul in California, or maybe Nevada now, Frank in New York, Bill Benatati. I mean, he's in the corrupt state of Connecticut. I mean, it's just astonishing what you've had to put up with there, Bill. And, of course, I sought to intervene in all of these trials. I sought to intervene in the Remington. I sought to intervene in Jones in Connecticut. I sought to intervene Jones in Austin, Texas. Nobody wanted me in there because I was pointing out that there's never been a determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook, and there's a massive evidence nobody died at Sandy Hook. They didn't want to hear it. They rejected me. I couldn't get my foot in the door. Bill, no surprises there, right?
Well, no, this is how it goes. I've been in court. I've actually had documents I subpoenaed. I'm sorry, I cross-examined witnesses over, actually altered. I've seen transcripts altered. It's amazing what goes on in the courts. They're nothing but a extortion racketeering act for the predatory parasite establishment class. Look at the Dozinger case, you know, for example. Oh, my goodness. So this is more of the same. The best we can do is try and expose it by look at the Erickson Bell trials. Oh, my goodness, 85-88, another tragedy of justice. But, of course, going through it.
Bill, I can't wait to have you back next week. Everyone out there, head is not going
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Hello.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.